So we have what seems to be two stories here. The story of Jesus and the Pharisees, the authorities from the temple, and a story of a parable of two sons. Two sons, one of whom was asked to go and do his father's work and said no, but went and did the work anyway. And the other who said, oh yes, I'll go, I'll do your work, but then he changed his mind. He did not go. And Jesus asked the authorities, who did the Father's will? And they said, the first. God asks us to do His work. He asks us to be His hands and His heart in the world. He asks us to serve Him in many and varied ways. Whether it be helping those who are sick, helping those who are in need, helping those who struggle, helping those who have not heard His word, helping those who do not understand, or just reaching out to a neighbor or even a family member to be there in times of difficulty and in times of trouble. We all have a variety of things we can do. We all have a variety of ways we can serve, and sometimes we do better than others. I mean, we are, after all, human. Fallible. We make mistakes. But we try. We call ourselves Christians, and sometimes we act Christ-like. But sometimes we call ourselves Christians, and we act as though we did not know the meaning of the name. There for a while, a couple of years ago, it was very popular to have bumper stickers and bracelets and stuff that said, WWJD. What would Jesus do? And I think somebody at one point changed that because they were worried about the environment. So WWJD, what would Jesus drive? Do we act Christ-like or not? How would Jesus act? What would Jesus do? What would He drive? What would He care about? How would He use what He had? Jesus is speaking here to people who are already part of the kingdom, to people who already believe in God, to people who are already part of the church of His day, people who knew the Scriptures, people who were supposed to know God, and yet a prophet had come in the person of John the Baptist who had offered people a new baptism, a new forgiveness, a new salvation, and the common people had jumped at that opportunity, and the people who were in authority at the church had hesitated, had turned away, had not accepted John's baptism or his message because they valued their authority and their position and their place in society and their wealth more than this new message, this new prophet, this new person. And so when Jesus came, they couldn't deny His power. They saw the miracles too. Yet they questioned His authority. They couldn't deny His message because His message was based on the very Scriptures that they had studied, some of them for their whole lives, and they knew well. But they questioned His authority. They couldn't deny His divinity. They knew there was something special about Him, but they didn't want to give up their authority. I had the pleasure of meeting with the Staff Parish Relations Committee this week and worked on some of that paperwork that we were talking about earlier that we have to do for charge conference, and some of the things had to do with what is the church doing? What have we accomplished since last year? Last year we set ourselves some goals. Have we met those goals? In some ways we have. We've done some wonderful things. We've had a great vacation Bible school where we came together with other churches and reached out into the community and did stuff. We've sent money to worthwhile causes. We've tried to help with projects that, I mean, we can't pack up and go to Africa and take nets to them, but we can send nets to Africa through programs that we contribute to. We've reached out to our neighbors and to each other. We've helped each other. We've loved each other. And I have to admit that I have come to love being in this church and love you all as my congregation very much. It's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to serve God in this place. But I had to stop and think. After our meeting, we went through the whole process, and I came away and I suddenly realized, you know, through that whole process, nobody ever asked me if I wanted to stay. Do I want to stay? Yeah, I want to stay. This is a wonderful place to be. But I struggle because I work a full-time job and then I try and serve the church. And there's always about 16 more things that I want to do than I have time to do. There's always a bunch more stuff that I would like to see us doing as the church than I have things to go around. One of the pieces of paper that Pat gave me when we met and talked about charge conference was a list of officers and members of committees and all of that stuff that the conference expects you to have and do. And there's more blanks on that page than there are people in this room, including the kids. There's not enough of us to go around to put a different name in each of those places. So what do we do now? We as a small church have a struggle. We're expected to be the church, but we're really just a church. We're expected to do God's will, but sometimes all we can do is what we can do. We're expected to be Christians, but it's a struggle sometimes to be Christ-like. We want to do good things. We want to see the church grow. We want to see it be healthy. We love having young people up here. We love having new people here. We love having the opportunity to reach out to folks, and it's exciting when there's a new ministry going on, something different. At the same time, we value our traditions. We love our church. We value the fact that we've been here for hundreds of years. Well, maybe not hundreds of years, but a bunch of years, more than 100 years. How do we balance those things? I think the people of Jesus' day tried to understand that too. He looked at the Pharisees, the people who were supposed to be in charge of the church, and said to them, not, you're not going to heaven, but the prostitutes and the tax collectors, two of the least respected groups in society, are getting there first because they listened to John's message. They chased after John's baptism. They were excited about John's offer of salvation. That was, of course, Jesus. John the Baptist was the prophet and the preparer for Jesus' coming. He was the one who offered them a baptism of water that would wash them clean to prepare them for the baptism of the Spirit that would fill them up. Set them on fire. I see the church, not just this church, but churches all over, as being in a similar position. They have been baptized, they have been cleansed, they have been prepared for Christ coming. But they have not yet been set on fire by His Spirit. It's only in the occasional moment when we can feel that power welling up inside of us, welling up in our service, welling up in our church. And so the conference has offered us all of these things, these goals, these ways of doing things to try and help us catch fire. And we struggle. Our committee struggle. I was talking to Phil about it this morning. We struggle just to try and understand how we as a little church can do what the church wants us to. I know you from spending time with you. I know that the people in this church have God in their hearts, that they love Him, that they care about Him, that they want to understand how they can serve Him. I have never seen a church that was so small that had so many people involved in worship. I have seldom seen a church that was so loved and cared for. We've got a better sound system than churches way bigger than us. Got a prettier roof than just about anybody. We obviously care about what's here. We obviously care about what we do. We certainly care about each other. I'm all the time having somebody ask, whether it's from the congregation at prayer time or after church or before church, hey, have you seen Bertha? Do you know what's going on with Tina? We care about each other. We're a family. We love each other. We want to do and be what God wants us to do and be. But sometimes we get caught in doing and being what we're used to doing and being. Into doing the day-to-day stuff. Into struggling with the work in the vineyard. And some days we feel like going, and some days we feel like we're going to puke. I called my boss up on Thursday, I think it was, and I said, I don't think I'm going to make it. I was supposed to be there at 1, and it was 3. I finally drug myself in there at about 4:30 and worked half a day and got off at 9 o'clock that night and thought I was going to die. Thought I wanted to die. I felt like I was sick. They were amazed to see me because they said, if you don't feel good, stay home. And I said, I'd love to, but I got work to do. If I don't do the work, it's just going to be there tomorrow, and then I'll have half as much time to do twice as much stuff. We all struggle to know what we can do. We all struggle to find a way to get stuff done. We all struggle to make it work. The only way we have a chance is with God's help and with each other. As a person by myself, I can do what I can. But as the church, I can do so much more. As a little church, we can do what we can. But as the church, we can do so many more things. Just in reaching out to 2 or 3 other churches, as a cluster of churches, we have been able to do stuff that was a real struggle to do by ourselves. And it got us excited. There's projects and opportunities that we hear about through the conference, some of which, maybe not too exciting. But sometimes we get excited about those things. If you see something that you're excited about, bring us your enthusiasm. Bring us your excitement. Help us to get excited about that. Help me, because as a part-time pastor with a full-time job, boy, I just don't feel like there's a whole lot of me to go around sometimes. But I want this church to have every opportunity to do everything that it can, that any church would, that we can. I want to see people get excited. I want to see people be fired up. I want to see people be enthused. I want to see people be transformed. And I have seen that. But it's never enough. You see people get it, and then the world kind of wears it away. And then we get excited again, and then we have to go back into the world. Then we, find another project, and then we find out how much it's going to cost. it seems like it's a constant struggle. Well, it is. It is a struggle to be God's people in this world. it is a struggle to have faith that everything's going to come out all right when it looks like everything is falling apart. It is a struggle to believe that we're going to make it when we do the books, it just doesn't look like we can make it. It's a struggle. But it's in our struggles that we have the opportunity to be an example for people who struggle without God to show them the difference. When we struggle and we have God with us, we do things differently than when folks out there struggle and they don't have God with them. We reach out to each other. We help each other. We support each other. We do things together. We reach out in love even when people aren't always very lovable. And we forgive. In the world, the rule is, he who has the gold makes the rules. The more money you have, the more authority you have. The more position you have, the more you should have a say. In the world, he who has the power gets what he wants or she wants. If you don't have any power, you don't get anything. Well, you get things, but they aren't what you want. It's a tough world out there. And as tough as it is for us, imagine what it is for those who don't have what we have. Not just in terms of homes and cars and jobs and, you know, resources, but in terms of love and forgiveness and the promise of eternal life and the promise of God's presence in our lives, not just in the next life, but here, now, today. And so I want to see the church on fire for Christ. I want to see the church caught up in a passion that overwhelms that earthly desire for stuff, that overwhelms that earthly struggle just to make it through the day, that overwhelms that earthly mud and mire and lifts us up, carries us on wings of faith like eagles, powerful, strong, excited, alive. Are we going to be people who question, people who struggle, who argue, who don't understand? Or are we going to be people who do understand and put off the cares of the world in order to do the work of Christ? I ask you, get excited. If you're excited about something, if there's something exciting in your life, if there's something exciting in your church, if there's something exciting that you see that you want to do and need help doing, bring it that we can share that excitement. Because it's us against the world. We are the church. We are the example of God's love in the world. If we can't be loving, who can? If we can't be forgiving, who will? If we can't go out of our way, where does one go for forgiveness, for love, for belonging? You're it, folks. You are the church. It's not me. It's not just me. I try to do my part. I try and help out. I tried to do a little. But there's never enough. There's never going to be enough of me to go around. There's never going to be enough of all of us to go around until Jesus comes. And then, boy, is He going to change things. Yeah. But until then, my little church in Lamont used to say, we're just waiting to get to heaven, preacher. And my response was always, well, while you're waiting, I got work for you to do. There's lots of work to do in the world. I'm not going to tell you what to do. The Spirit has to do that. I'm not going to tell you where to help. But when you see a need, you've heard the call. That's your opportunity to do Christ's work, whether it's here or there or somewhere else. We are His people. We are the shepherds. We are the sheep. But we are also the hands in the field that reap the harvest. We are also the hands in the field that plow the ground and sow the seeds. We are also the hands in the world that can give the love and the forgiveness that He has given to us and given so abundantly. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.